Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, listen, good evening, good afternoon to some, good evening to others, and welcome to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. I was asked to do Facebook Live on this evening by one of our dedicated listeners who can't get to the phone line, so we are doing just that. And as always, you know who we have sitting here at the table with us. We have Mary Ann Williams. We all call her Mama around here at the table. So, Mama, good evening to you. How are you doing this evening? And please, just go ahead and
okay, and good evening to you. I'm doing fine, thank you. And good evening to my PRF family. Again, I'm glad that you are with us. And with that being said, just going to turn the show to Dr. Dunlap Jr. Thank you.
Amen. You put the junior on it, folks. All right, so listen.
You like that, JR.
That's all right. So listen, tonight, we're going into a new series, y'all. We're going into a new series. We're focusing on financial checkup for leaders. And this month, I have the pleasure of having two individuals that's going to be with us. Maybe not every single week. I know there will be at least one week where both of them will be here. And there's none other than Major Darrell Carson. He is a major with the Alabama National Guard. And also another brother who is none other than Pastor Stephen Garrett, who's the pastor of Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church in Phenix City, Alabama. So tonight we have Major Carson. I call him Colonel because he's promotable. He's going to be a colonel soon. So Colonel Carson, how are you this evening, sir?
I am fantastic. How about you guys?
I'm good. Thank you, Colonel.
So listen. I'm doing this Facebook Live, so this is a little bit different tonight. So if you want to come on live, I think that will be – we have a lot of people that are watching us on live more so than we have people that are listening to us on the air. So if you want to come on live, it'll be livelier for those who are watching on Facebook Live, then we can still continue on from there if you will. If you're not in a position, we'll be okay. I'm talking to you, Major Carson.
Roger that. I was trying to join now, but I'm having some technical difficulties.
All right. So I see you watching. I see you watching. So I'm going to do whatever I can do. If you just request yourself, whatever that little button is on there. So while he's doing that, let me just tell everybody where we are. We found it not robbery, and I believe this is what God has given us. He gives us these topics way in advance, and we really thought it was necessary to deal with leaders. Leaders are so important to the body of Christ in whatever leadership capacity I serve in, you serve in. And the truth of the matter is this, that there is a need for our leaders, especially our religious leaders, to understand where we are financially. I don't want to get too far into the show, but what I will say is this. If we can't have our stuff together, if we don't have our stuff together as leaders, then let me just help you understand something. It's often going to flow down to the people we've been called to serve. So, Mama, let me ask you first because
yes,
until Brother Darrell gets in, as somebody who's not a pastor. As somebody who's been in the church for so many years, Mama,
yes.
What have you seen from leaders as far as how they've actually made it? As a member, and I wanted to start off with this, saying it and talking about it as a member of a church or who served under various pastors in different capacities, you see things sometimes that other folks may not see.
Yeah.
You may have information that other folks sometimes just speculate about how well a leader is doing. And we want to talk about that. Again, this is not going to be one of those shows at all that we'll be beating up on anybody, beating up on any leaders, but we are going to tell the truth.
Right. Okay.
So Mama, give us your perspective, if you will, from a member's perspective.
Well, in my walk with the Lord, I have seen that a lot of the congregation, especially your elders, and the different churches that I've been involved in, they really, mm-hmm. if the pastor says it or a leader says it, that's it. They really rely on what the pastor says, no matter what. And I remember that I myself, when I first, because it's what I was hearing, and this was new for me, it was just born again. And I remember I had said something, I said, well, the pastor said it, you know, because that's just how the theme was going. And so one of the sisters said, well, you know, Sister Marion, can't you think for yourself? You know, but I said, well, that's what the pastor said, you know, and that was just, and I was just right on, flowing right on with them, you know. When you're talking about leaders being knowledgeable, it's so important because, you know, the people, a lot of the ones that I know, they really depend on that pastor for everything. Even if they know, they say, well, I got to tell my pastor. I know what the Lord told me, but my pastor has to okay it, you know.
Right.
And sometimes it's okay, you know, and it's sometimes I see that it takes away from the relationship with Jesus, the personal relationship, because if God wants to tell us to do something, and I know, and my pastor may just say I don't think that's a good idea, and I'm so dependent on my pastor until I can miss my blessing.
And so let me do this. Let me segue into bringing brother Carson in. Good to see you, my good friend.
They are,
because one of the things that you said is that as leaders, Mama, as leaders and as pastors, people take what we say to heart. That's some of what I gather from what you said. They take what we say at heart. And if for whatever chance, whatever reason, there's some things that I'm talking about as a leader, and God forbid, the things that I talk about, the things that I say, the level of faith that I say I have as a leader, the level of faith that I'm telling you that you need to have, God forbid the members ever find out that what I was feeding you was a lie. God forbid the people ever find out or it ever becomes revealed to the people that I didn't have the same type of faith that I'm telling you to have, especially in this area of finances or even PRF in particular. So thank you, Mama, for those comments. And we're going to bring Darryl Carson into the conversation. My brother, my friend, talk to us. Why are you here with us tonight as we're talking about financial this financial checkup, financial wellness for leaders, and why is it important?
The bottom line up front, as the military term is, you can't be something, you can't give somebody something you're not.
Mm.
And so you're talking about teaching people financially, then you have to have some kind of resume that's showing that you have actually master some of these things too. A lot of times it's just, you know, many churches just give, hey, just put your money in and everything is going to be fine. Well, if the church hasn't lined itself up and has some sound financial background, then you're standing there, they're going to make decisions, bad decisions with your money, and it just trickles down always. As a leader, what you do trickles down to those that are under you. So you've got to be able to set a standard, and if you're talking about finances, talking about giving, talking about tithing, talking about investing, talking about insurance, you better make sure you have your stuff squared away. Because once the people under you realize that you're just faking the funk, then they'll pull back. They will not follow you in that particular area.
And I won't even say, because this is dialogue, but I won't even say faking the funk. It may be faking the funk for some, and some it may just be the lack of knowledge. It may just be, you know, as a leader, and I could just say from my perspective with PRF, and you know this because we've had conversations, and it's not easy. It's not easy walking the walk and talking the talk. I would never get up in front of any group, any learning session on a webinar. I just would not stand up before God's people and act like that this is easy dealing with money and dealing with finances and ministry and how all these complexities that it go into. I would never do that. I would never have anybody believing as the leader that I'm in my capacity that I have it all together, that there's no area of PRF that I don't have a struggle in. The question becomes, or the issue becomes, I lift up the areas and I stand before God's people boldly and say, listen, when it comes to credit, I got an 812 credit score. Now, let me help you get your stuff straight. If I ain't have a will, I can't stand before the people and say, listen, I need you to make sure you get your earthly affairs in order. I need to make sure you have life. If I don't have those things, I can't stand before God's people and act like a front. But until I get those things together, Darryl, I got to call on somebody like Darryl to say, listen, I don't have my stuff together, so I'm going to send you to Darryl because he knows about this area. He got a couple guys that are writing some good policies, and these things are going to really help in the long run. I need you to really connect with him because I don't have that. So something that you mentioned was kind of interesting. You mentioned about how things trickle down.
Right.
When you said that, I said, let's go to the Bible because we know a lot of people are watching right now.
Okay.
I want everybody watching to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want to help us tonight to be able to see a couple of things. 1 Chronicles 29 comes when at the time when David, King David, is I won't say out the door, but he already knows that God, I can't build. He told me I can't build a temple. We, you know, some of us know the story when David said, I'm going to build this big old edifice for God. You know, what we know as a temple. And Nathan was like, listen, bro, God is like, no, you can't do it. But you can be a part of it, though. You can't actually build it, but you can be a part of the process. And so in 1 Chronicles 29, it talks about David and how he's giving gifts for the temple, how all these things that were needed for the temple were being given. And if you go into verse number three says, and now because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am given all of my private treasures of gold and silver, of my own private treasures, and silver in to help the construction of the temple. This is in addition to the building materials that I've already collected for his holy temple. Then he says, I'm donating 112 tons of gold. I'm donating 262 tons of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. And then he says, now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Here's what I want to say. You say the tree trickles down. Listen to this. He asked that question. But he asked that question. Let me calm down like I'm in church. He asked the question, because I know y'all can hear me. He asked the question after he showed himself to be an example to the people. I want to believe that David, because we already talked about David, a man after God's own heart. So I don't believe David did this for no show or fashion. I believe David did this out of his heart. But it wasn't until after he did his part that question comes up. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Verse 6 says, then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and the captains of the host, the king's administrative officers, they all gave willingly. So when you talk, brother, I'm going to be quiet, but when you talk and you said that this thing is supposed to trickle down, I'm glad that you said that, because we as leaders must recognize, and if you're not a pastor on here or you're not a religious leader that's watching, that's something that we need to be paying attention to when we're not in those leadership positions for those times when we get in those leadership positions. We got to be able to say, listen, this thing starts with us. I don't need to be asking you to give $100 and doggone it, I gave $100. Let's go here. I don't need to ask you to give $100 because I'm going to get $100 after I preach. Think about it. I'm preaching on Fourth Sunday. I'm going to go get $100. They're going to give me $100 because that's what they do. And so it ain't nothing for me, or I get $500 for preaching. So I'm going to tell you, look, y'all need to dig deep, dig deep. No. How about we dig deep? When we look at everything When we look at everything that he gave, I reading that, I was like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? David came out of his pocket big and deep and wide. And think about this. What do you think would have happened if the people would not have given willingly? Listen. God only wants the people to give out of a willing heart. He don't want people getting out of compulsion or anything like that. So I'm amazed that the people just said, we're gonna do what we saw you do. But go ahead, Bro Carson. Go ahead. Let me stop it. You know, I keep going.
But the thing is, as a leader, and that's something in the military we learn a lot of, is that you still have to have like purpose, and there's task. That's a term we lose. So David laid out, I'm doing this for the temple, and I'm giving it. So it's not just enough to say, let me give something. Because, I mean, you can just give and just be given. But if you have a purpose of why I understand, and then you lead from the front, then that makes the difference. That's why, you know, leaders, you lead from the front.
Right.
Leaders find out where the friction point is in your organization, and you know, if you're your leaders that are under you can't handle it, then you put yourself there. But you also have to make sure that there's some blood, sweat, tears that you have. You can't be the guy standing in front of the formation with the belly that's hanging up over your, sticking out the uniform, stuff like that. You have to set standard for readiness. That's what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that as a leader, by David in that example, is that, again, he laid out, this is why I am doing it. They all knew why they were doing it. And then so they were all able, from himself to all those that were under them, they followed his example. I think a lot of those that sometimes, you know, for every reason, or like, you know, when I say you're facing the funk, but somebody doesn't know that, it's just easier to say, well, let me not really, I don't really need to show that. For whatever reason, maybe bad teaching of leadership, because, I mean, there are some bad teachings dealing with leadership. It's not like a lot of times I've noticed over the years when someone becomes a pastor, they may be great at preaching, but that does not mean that they are great at leading. Two different things.
Man, listen, I'm going to go back to David for one more moment. Because, again, I just said, God, you take control of this. Can I just read something? When I read it down there where it said that they all gave willingly, I stopped there. But can we go a little bit further in the text? This thing about to blow your mind. God, it maybe just blow my mind. Y'all know how I get. So David gave 112 tons of gold. Listen, 112 tons? Dude, do you know how wealthy you are to have can I just get a ton of pennies? You know what I'm saying? 112 tons of gold and 262 tons of silver. You hear that, you're like, man, David had a lot. And I understand that in today's time, there's the majority of pastors are not sitting on gold and silver like David. They're not sitting with $15,000 and $20,000 in the bank in their checking account. They're not sitting with $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 in their 401k. That is not the tone financially for most of our religious leaders, bottom line. But when I looked at what else, because it talked about that they gave willingly, right? He gave 112. The people gave 188. He gave 262 tons of silver. The people gave 300 plus. So you just got to think about this. If we as religious leaders, right, if we have our stuff together, I'm not talking about all of us being rich, but we have what we have, and we show that we give willingly as an example to other folks, to the people that we're supposed to be leading, their giving should surpass our giving each and every time. That's me. That's me. That's what I'm saying. I read what happened in the text, but I'm going to hold on to that. If I do my best to give here at PRF and I'm giving as a living example, then it shouldn't be a problem for those who serve. You know what? We see what Dunlap doing. He's busting his butt every single day doing the work of the ministry. But in addition to that, he's also giving for things that can be built for other people that give glory to God. Because when David gave gold and silver. That's what it said. Can I tell you what else is? But the people, not only did they give gold, not only did they give silver, but it also said they gave 10,000 gold coins. It also said they gave 675 tons of bronze. It also says that they gave 3,750 tons of iron.
Okay. And on that real quick.
Please do.
When you talked about what David had, that wasn't something that came overnight. David came from the start of a slingshot in a rock and being able to defeat Goliath. And when everybody else was standing on the battle line, and you've got whole brigade-sized formations, and this dude is walking out, Goliath is just taunting him, and nobody is moving. You would think at least 100 or 200 of the bravest men were like, hey, let's bum rush him. We all, he can't take us all. But they all kind of sit back and just kind of, you know, stay in this mode of, well, what we're going to do. And then David shows up, and then David deals with Goliath swiftly. All right, so then if you're looking over the pattern of time, David had to not just earn. So, because, again, once he defeated Goliath, Saul gave him a whole lot of stuff. But understand that his example was over time. He continued to build what I call leadership capital.
Okay.
And begin to build that, it makes people want to trust in you. So, again, when you look at David and you're dealing with the men that are discontent, they're broken, they're in debt, they're broke.
Okay.
And they broke. So even when he lost, but he still, because they watched him and they was like, this guy loves this nation, this guy loves God, they watched what he did as a leader. They watched him fight. They watched him get him to the front line. And so when he would make a move, they would follow him because they knew he was blessed. They knew he was a leader that cared for him.
Yes.
So that's a lot easier to do than sometimes just going there and tell somebody to do something when you haven't built that leadership capital of yourself.
Wow. So therefore, I would say part of what you're saying, I'll bring this argument to the conversation and say, as leaders, we have to be willing to go and do what's needed to be done to build up what we need to build up, because we can't be the example that we're telling other folks they should be if we haven't done our part.
So, you can't tell people to fight Goliath if you won't. It's simple.
Mm-mm.
You can't tell people to run through a brick wall if you won't do. Because, again, leadership is being present. Leadership is by example. There's no other way. You cannot preach yourself around it. You cannot use charisma a little bit. But eventually, you are going to be exposed for who you are. And then when people start popping up about the church or popping up about your business or whatever you're trying to, then you're going, well, they just being rebellious. No, not always. What they did is they watched the movie, and they realized they gave it one star. They don't want to go back and see it anymore. They don't want the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you are always, as a leader, you must be mindful that how you do stuff is generally what you're getting is because of what you're doing. You might not even realize it. A lot of times, to be honest with you, we'll run people out of our church or out of our formation that say something to us that's negative, but may not always want to do that. They may be showing you something that maybe you. Because, again, remember, it wasn't David's general that came up when he was doing his thing with Bathsheba and had her husband killed on the front line. It was prophet that came and said, hey, look, you just did something horrible, man. And he didn't come right out and say it. So that's what I think as leaders, we have to understand that your preaching is not going to get you leadership, period. period.
Right. I'm for those of y'all wondering, okay, when they're going to get to all the talk about money and how I can be blessed and how as a leader I can get all my bills paid. Listen, that's just not how God is revealing this to be done. Many of you as religious leaders, if you'll be honest, y'all are footing a lot of the bills for the church. If you really be honest, I'm kicking out dough to keep PRF running, even though other folks give. If I'm going to be honest, so you be honest. And one of the things I really think that in this whole conversation about a financial checkup, and I had a conversation with somebody earlier, there has to be a level of honesty. That honesty is the thing that's going to really do something when it comes to the pride. Because what I know is that there are a lot of religious leaders that finances are just totally jacked up. And I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here. 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives a bunch of qualifications for an overseer or an elder, right, or a bishop, right? It gives those qualifications, Brother Turner. And in those qualifications, one of the things that it says, I think it's about verses 3, 4, 5, it says, and if he cannot run his own household well, how can he manage the affairs of the church? So the first step is, yes, we talked a little bit about leadership, but the first step is, if we're going to really deal with a checkup, be honest about where you are right now.
Right.
That's the first thing on the checklist is be honest where you are right now. If you don't have life insurance, be honest if you don't have life insurance. If you don't have a will, be honest if you don't have a will. If you got $23 in your doggone bank account until next Friday, which is payday, be honest that you got $23 in your bank account. If you don't know how in the heck you got only $23 in your bank account and you just got paid last week, be honest, say, I don't have any idea, God, where my money went to. You have to start off with a level of honesty, and that's number one on the checklist. Be honest of where you are. If you can't be honest of where you are, here's what I say to our leaders, especially those who endure pastoral care. When somebody comes into your office, whether they do it as an individual or whether they do it as a husband or wife, the one thing you just don't want coming out of somebody's mouth, how's your finances, Pastor Dunlap? You don't want somebody that's world is breaking down because their credit is shot. And they know they got to get out this apartment, or they know they got to leave out of this house. They know they can't do certain things. Their car just broke down. They can't just go to a car dealership like you and I, Darrell, praise God. They can't just go to a car dealership and buy a car. And then they say, how's your credit, Pastor Dunlap? I'm sitting on a 400 like you. But see, I have something at my disposal, especially as a religious leader, that other folks don't have. I have other folks that can constantly give to me without knowing where I really am because of my position. So hold on right there. We're going to say good evening to all those who are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for joining with us. We ask you to come back next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And listen, here's the extra. Here's the bonus. We are going to continue going on Facebook Live for a few more moments, because this conversation is good, and we know sometimes folks don't like to come until almost at the benediction time. So with that, those of y'all who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, God bless y'all. We love y'all. Now, Brother Carl.